It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my God, it's Josh, Tom, and our special guest today, Kelsey Bird.
We're here.
From Peace, Love, and Baseball. Oh my goodness, Kelsey, how are you doing today?
Oh my goodness. Thank you all for having me. I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, great. Do you regret this yet? Like, just looking?
Not yet.
My palms are
starting to sweat a little bit.
Don't worry.
I'm just imagining these jerseys behind us fall. There's like a swastika.
Yeah. No. She's like, why are you guys loading a gun just every once in a while? Like, nothing. You ever seen Deer Hunter? It's a great movie, man.
This is what St. Louis is really like. Because I clearly wouldn't know. Not as an adult.
We're in the wild land. We're in the wild west of St. Louis. We're in Cape Girardeau. Yeah. We're in South. Dude, we're partying. This is party city. There's no such thing as laws around where we're at, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus. This is a big day for us. We have said a lot of incendiary things about people who have done theater, musical theater in the past.
My dad is a gay theater guy.
Your dad is a gay theater guy. And I could just be going through my midlife crisis in my 30s because I dated someone who did theater for 5 years.
Also, for the record, I'm not calling my dad gay because he likes theater. He is actually a homosexual man. For that.
That would make him straight.
Because we're probably friends.
There you go. Yeah. Hey.
Your dad's going to be like, I love Peace, Love, and Baseball.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to mine.
Like, finally, you got that girl from Peace, Love, and Baseball on.
What better person to help me get over like a tremendous amount of just internalized white guy repression than to bring on someone who is who does a podcast that's all about hope. And you and I are just hopeless. We're negative Nancy's. It's really just me. Josh has a girlfriend now, folks. He has found life, and here I am sauntering in the dark abyss.
Man.
And Kelsey's going to bring us out of it, man. She's going to do it.
Kelsey! This might be your big break, Tom, because there's a lot of Peace, Love, and Baseball listeners who are looking for someone just like you.
They're...
Ooh.
Oh, matchmaker. Here we go.
We should play matchmaker.
Kelsey?
Yeah.
I heard you talking to a fat idiot.
What's, what's that about? Tell me about it.
Dox him for me? Dude, I listened to probably about 14, 15 hours of your assorted podcast. I do say assorted because, Kelsey, you're a hustler, dude. You grind.
I try. I'm out there every day talking about baseball as long as and wherever people will let me.
She's got that dog. Yeah. You've got two pods. You've got Peace, Love, and Baseball and Babes. My first exposure to you on Twitter was seeing something called Babes pop up. And I was like, whoa, cool. And then I was like, oh, nice. Who is this person? And I was like, oh, she seems happy. Mute. No. She seems fun. And then my next exposure was seeing you going to the London series. And when we played the Cubs, and we won't speak about the results of that, but I have been, I would say, following you and, you know, your pod, your love for the game.
He's
for,
been tracking you, is what he's.
Yeah, I don't know how to say, like, yeah, I just been following you, but now, the way I'm saying it makes it sound like, yeah, I'm hunting, like it's just something crazy. Now,
didn't you guys meet on opening day?
Right? We did. Yes, I saw. Yeah.
I went to the bathroom, and he leaves to go saunter off to Kyle Reese and you guys, and
he's so jealous.
Yeah. Tickle me, surprise. I mean, I come back with beer for all of us, and Tom went to go socialize.
I took Josh thinks you owe him beers, because I gave you beer.
Kyle clearly.
I will gladly give you back that beer. I look forward to the day that we can have beers on me.
I have it saved in a special fridge for the moment. Yeah. So, like, the big question, or not big question, I mean, like, so why? Why, like, I know why I got involved is because my friend thought I was going to kill myself after a breakup. Again, we're going to get positive. I'm going to find a way to do it. All right. Okay. But, like, why a baseball podcast, Kels?
Well, I have been a fan of baseball, believe it or not, even longer than I have been in musical theater. And before I loved baseball, before I loved theater. Maybe not before I loved music, but definitely before I loved theater and even knew about musical theater. So I grew up watching Cardinals baseball. My grandpa worked at Sportsman Park in the 40s and is from St. Louis. And then my dad spent part of his childhood in St. Louis. I grew up halfway in between Chicago and St. Louis in central Illinois. So my mom's whole side of the family is diehard Chicago Cubs fans. And my dad's whole side of the family is diehard Cardinals fans. And I always like to joke, maybe you guys will appreciate this, that my mom got to make the decision to raise us Catholic and my dad got to make the decision to raise us Cardinals fans. So fortunately for me, I had that going for me. One of the two going for me at least. And I am proud to be a Cardinals fan living in Chicago, and actually for the majority of my adult life I lived very close to Wrigley Field, but stayed tried and true. And yeah, I got into the game because I really like the kind of strategy and analytics of it and the human side of it, of course. But I think the thing that really drew me in at first was the strategy and just the pace of the game, that you can think through it and analyze it and talk about it while you enjoy it. And I made my own scorebook as a kid that was like not at all a real scorebook, but
Stu Styles eat your heart out on that.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I loved it. And I had fun making my little doodles and using my word art and having a special little binder with stickers all over it and so Taguchi's face on the front of it. And
hell yeah.
I just made my own love of the game. And I did that probably at least 3 or 4 summers in a row for every single game. And even when I started doing theater and I couldn't watch the games always at night because I'd be at rehearsal or doing a show, I would watch it. They would always replay it the next morning on Fox Sports Midwest. And I'd tune in with Danny Mac and Al, and I'd keep score just like I was watching the game live in my fake little scorebook. And yeah, I did that every summer until I was old enough to have to get a summer job and couldn't be, you know, as timely invested in the game, but I was still as emotionally and mentally invested. Moved to New York City, still found places to watch the Cardinals, especially because it was right around the time of their last World Series run. And actually, the only time I've been to Boston, I was living in New York City. The only time I've been to Boston, I actually had tickets to game 6, I think. I can't remember if I had tickets to game 6 or game 7. Regardless, neither of them happened. And I ended up in Boston on the day of the Red Sox World Series parade instead of the game that I was supposed to go to. So yeah, I've been through all the emotions with the Cardinals, but as I have grown up, my love of the game has grown and spread beyond the Cardinals. And when I took a job that I really transitioned into more of a conventional job that is great for a lot of reasons, you know, like financial stability and being a boring adult, but it's not very creative and like I was used to. I wanted to find a creative outlet and a way that I could keep connecting with people. Like, we were joking before we got on here about how y'all don't, you know, want to see people or interact with people, but I don't do that very much anymore. And so I was looking for that and like wanting that level of connection. And as weird as it might sound to like start a podcast by myself looking for that, it was kind of like, I didn't know who to start it with. So I was just like, I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to put me out there. I'm a very audio driven person. So I appreciate podcasts and just the linguistics of it all. And through that, I've been able to have a lot of conversations and invite different people on. And I mean, at this point I have had at least 50 conversations, if not more. I mean, way more actually. You've between all eight. Of the podcasts.
Yeah, you have a huge catalog of interviews. You have like John Kovacs when it comes to like history of women in baseball.
Yeah.
I've noticed you've been like tackling each team to bring on their like resident like fanatic to come on. Your interview with the I forgot it, the blogger for the LA Dodgers. Great one there.
Oh, yeah. Clint Casillas. Yeah. He rocks.
Very fun. I just started the Royals one. So like, did you go remote before starting the pods then?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause so, before then I was working in the fitness industry and the main reason I left my previous job was not because I didn't like interacting with people per se, but I was overseeing like 6 different locations. I was driving all over the city. I was the only person on the ground. I was working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Oh, yeah. And I had no autonomy over my, you know, creative outlet.
Your
but
time,
all of
right?
that was
yeah.
very, very quickly stripped away to where I had nothing but time and no creative outlet. So that is what brought me to this.
No, 100, like, no, fuck that. Yeah. Like, it's like the issue with like work in general. You know, you make like a solemn oath essentially once you like get out of college or if you don't go to college that I'm gonna wake up each morning at this set time and go to work until like I'm in my 60s and dying. That's
right.
Not a positive. That's not a positive thing though. Okay, that's not a positive because you can reclaim that though. It's like I envy this because I'm pursuing what you got here.
With
okay,
the only fans, right?
Only Tom's.
Ooh,
thank you very much.
Only Tom.
Only Tom. Yeah. Nick found an AI generator that translates what I say into Chinese gibberish, and it has become... That's my future. That's my future, is being like, this guy is very morally confusing. But, like, no, I first off, very happy you got this. I'm incredibly envious, because, like... you know, I have a creative spree to me. You know, I was, I drew, I painted... I wrote, I have like a creative writing minor. And so my thing is, you know, and as much as we've dunked on theater kids here, I'm very much at my heart like a theater kid. Like when, like my friends and I started like an independent comedy scene. We wrote musicals about country westerns.
Hell yeah.
We've performed across the state and even in Illinois, good old Centralia. You got to check.
Ooh, there you
they
go.
Got some good cat fried catfish over there. So like, I'm pursuing like what you're going after or not going at what you've got here, because like to me, like the more time I have, especially like with a remote job, the more time I have to myself, the more I feel like I can like reclaim like that creative edge that I feel like
totally
part of me feels like I haven't had since I was a kid, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Work, like, totally dulls that sense too.
Yeah. I mean, it just blunts that type of thing.
It really does. And doesn't it suck that you feel like you have to pick between any kind of financial stability or, you know, long-term like quote unquote success and just comfort and being creative and like pursuing what you really want to. And the fact that, yeah, one then ultimately feels like it takes from the other two, like it's a constant battle. And it's just kind of like, I feel very like judged in some ways that I am doing something that is like so conventional. I never, ever thought I would do it. And there are days when it like eats at my soul, but it is allowing me to reclaim it, like you said. And you just have to kind of play around with that balance and constantly be fighting for it.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, it's your own autonomy there. What we're talking about is like, it's the commodity that every person has that they run out. It's the most valuable thing. You know, it isn't so much a shelter, even food or, you know, money. It is time. Time is a finite resource we all just run out of.
Mm-hmm.
And to like, you know, without getting too left wing pilled here, to me, I see it as like a failings of our institutions that like we blunt that we stunt that kind of growth in people, mm-hmm. because it's healthy for them to have it. Instead, we, you know, you have to go and eat buckets of shit so that way you can buy more things that we want you to buy so you can take out X amount of debt on it.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is that we hate you for living the dream that we want to live. That's what
I would say.
That's what we. That's the long way we're going around there.
You know what social media does? You only see what I want you to see. But no, I am. I'm very, very fortunate. But it, you know, I feel even more fortunate that I like the reason I feel so fortunate is because I've experienced so much of the other side of it, and it's just a like everything is temporary, right? So yeah. We're just riding the good wave, and the lows are low, but the highs are even higher because we have the lows too. So here I am with my positive bullshit.
I know.
Hey.
Well, you have I've noticed the theme with your pod is that it's divided in threes, because the way Kelsey sets it up is peace portion of the pod, love portion of the pod, baseball of the pod. Ooh. And one thing,
it's like eat pray love.
Yeah, this is the creative side of her coming out here. All right, this is the thing I envy. Okay, it's a through line. So the one that you were doing, you had Susie from Bourbon and Baseball. You had, I forgot her name, Babe's Podcast Ghost. Yes.
Yeah,
you were doing the Battery Mates one. I was listening to that. And the Battery Mates one was, you know, looking at not only the catching pitching tandem of Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina, but other, I wouldn't say commonly known. I mean, you did Yogi Berra, Don Larson, and then you also went with Gary Sanchez, Blake Snell. But the through line that that you guys established, I really thought was really cool, is that, you know, and it's not like it's not. It's very, how would I put it? It's very digestible for anyone. And the thing that I really am impressed with that is that I have a difficult time being able to express an idea in a way that is digestible. And you ladies nailed it on this one, which is Battery Mates. And it's just, you know, talking about past relationships, talking about husbands, talking about the through line connection that, you know, pitchers and catchers share, and how you share that with the relationships you establish with people. That was a great episode.
Thank you.
There's always a thematic reach on what I've noticed when it comes to peace, love, and baseball. I think that's very, very cool that you do that. It's because we've always, I'm talking too much, I know. We've always done this bit on this pod, which is baseball's fucking stupid and boring sometimes. We can't talk about it every single minute. There has to be something else that that offsets, or better yet, supports it in some way. And
yes.
Whether it's, you know, bitching about, you know, how much we hate billionaires to how much we hate work or something like that, or the creative outlets that we have, you know, whether it's through documentaries or goofy articles that we write, you know, baseball is to me an all-encompassing thing that isn't just reduced down to batting average, on base percentage, and
exactly.
God almighty, how John Mozeliak is going to hell because his legacy is tainted. The best fans in baseball have been wronged again.
I'm glad you said it, Tom. I'm glad you said it. No, but that makes me so happy to hear you say that, because I really started this with the idea that there was more people than just me. There was people like you and I out there. And there are so many artsy, creative people that that does seem to be a through line of fans of baseball. And yeah, it's very easy for me to thread it through that way, because of the fact that that's so much of why I love baseball, because it is just a through line for so many things.
I think when you mentioned in your early episodes when you started if I'm remembering it right, so peace, love, obviously baseball is its own thing, but peace and love that you had designated for it was, I think, wellness and mindfulness,
Health, wellness, because I mentioned I work in the fitness industry for a long time, and different aspects or sides of that. But I have a very different kind of perception of what that is. And a huge part of the reason I left the fitness industry is because the way that it is sold and consumed and is mainstream is not what I I believe that it is and what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And that was always just a challenge that I was going to have no matter where I tried to go with it, especially if I was going to be working for somebody else doing it. So yeah, that was part of the conversation that I wanted to have. And obviously, like, as athletes, that's something that is very much a part of any sport. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the love portion of it. I don't know. What was your takeaway from the love portion?
Well, for me, like, I think, like, and I'm not saying this, like, my interpretation of your pod is that it's hopeful. And, like, to me, I think we could use, like, more of that. I do, like, you know, part of me thinks, you know, like, you did, like, the John Mozeliak, what was it, 12 Days of Christmas? You did a Christmas song on it.
Oh, yes. Wake Up, Mo.
Wake Up, Mo, on that one. And I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is neat. And then I'm like, also, you know, it's campy, whatever, ha ha, blah. You know, but, like, I have, like, that guttural reaction to it because I'm such a fucking sourpuss is the thing on it. And, like that part of me is kind of, like, at constant odds with, like, the part of me that is hopeful, whether that be, like, hopeful for humanity, hopeful for my own future, hopeful for others. And, like, you know, our pod is... I wouldn't say nihilistic, but I mean, it's you're like, you don't know what you're going to get. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, here's a deep dive into, you know, goofy player names and Oakland Athletics, like, ownership and where they get their money from. And then us doing bits that if my job found out about, they would probably shoot me.
We're anarchists. That's wait, what. Or
yeah, doing. Sure. Yeah, yeah. We're, yeah, go CNT, that type. But, like, to me, like, the overarching message for, like, peace, love, and baseball is hope, is what it is. It's hopefulness, which, like, I respect that vibe. And I think, like, I think we can all respect that word, you know. I feel like peace, love, and baseball runs on vibes. And we ran on vibes last year, and I guess maybe that goes into our baseball segment.
Well, we ran on our first year,
didn't we? Oh, first year we did. We did hashtag good vibe season because vibe we had pool holes is what we had on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then last year,
it was embrace the suck.
It was embrace the suck. We made t-shirts. We made t-shirts. Jesus. But no, like, to me, like, my interpretation of it is hopefulness. And that's the way I see, like what you produce and create when it comes to, and, you know, it's something I think Cardinals fans could use a lot of.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm right there with you in terms of, like, what is the word? It's like a very, very obvious word. The entitlement. That's what it is. The entitlement of Cardinals fans. I'm, like, very much on the same page with you there because I just have such a deep appreciation for the game and for people in general, let alone people who do anything at an elite level as Major League Baseball. So, and when you appreciate, I think, the game as a whole and you follow more than just your team, you have a very different perspective on it. And you want to appreciate it for not just winning, but for all of what it is, which is very much what you guys talk about as well with all your different bits. And, you know, it might seem like it's out of left field, but it's still very much copacetic at the end of the day as well.
Oh, God, does that mean you've listened to us before? I'm so sorry if you have. That'd be bad. That'd
we found bad. Out Brendan Schaefer did whenever I was doing impersonations of him. And then I'm like, I did impersonations of Brad Thompson. And I'm like,
well, now I'm going to have to keep listening in because you better impersonate me next.
Oh, Jesus. I'll have to work on it.
Man, I have a...
You're just going to be like, but there's so much hope. There's so much hope left for this year, you guys.
Will come out tomorrow. Bet you about a dollar bill. Why are you saying grouch, Oscar?
So I have a, you know, you mentioned earlier about the, you know, one parent decided you guys would be raised Catholic. One decided you would be raised a Cardinals fan. Were you a Catholic school kid growing up?
I was not. No. My dad...
PSR.
Yeah, no, I was not. So, no, sorry. I went rogue in public school and I still turned out okay.
Hey, there you go. No, I just have to ask because you seem very well adjusted, which explains a lot that you didn't go to Catholic school.
Weirdly enough.
I trauma dumped. You can trauma dump here. What would you like to tell Kelsey about Catholic school, real quick?
Oh, yeah, give it to me.
They make you, let's see. They make you marry a classmate, at least at my high school. We had to marry a classmate our senior year. obviously not an official wedding, but you know,
what was the
totally,
we had to
totally
plan
normal,
a honeymoon,
mm-hmm.
like plan like our lifestyle afterwards with our budget and the fake careers we picked. It was weird. Also, I've told this story, and you know, I try not to get too raunchy, but you know, it was like,
shut the fuck up.
I was like a freshman in high school, and there, you know, it was about to be confirmed into the church, and so the priest, you know, we go and do confession, and you know, I'm that like horny 14-year-old boy age, and I'm like, yeah, so you know,
I'm just
like
a boy,
like you know, yeah, I've looked up boobs online, and you know, I've touched myself before. And he like stops this in cold blood, and he's like, you need to go to chastity.com and take this survey for your penance to make sure you don't have a pornography addiction. And so yeah, that's like fun stuff like that that you really missed out on. So.
Yeah,
oh
well,
yeah, no,
enough.
Yeah, she missed out on not being raised normal. I know. How tragic.
I know.
It's kind of weird because so my mom, it was very important to her that we were raised Catholic, and for a lot of reasons, like listen, I personally, everyone has their own experience with things, right? Like I had a very positive experience with it, I think because of I had the right balance of and very well because I was not in a Catholic school, who knows. But my mom was a public school teacher, and she actually, that was something that was really difficult with her, difficult for her because she was a special education teacher, and they don't have special education teachers in the Catholic school system. And so that was always, you know, kind of a
that's true. When I student kind of taught, contention. When student taught at a Catholic school, because my CMOS ed department was really trying to get me to flunk out, they didn't have it. We, you know, kids with IEPs or ESL students, you just, you just have to accommodate in the classroom, or better yet, you know, they kind of segregated that sort of thing, price them out or just deny their application for
it. Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, at my Catholic grade school and like in first grade, I struggled with reading, and just to get like any really like one-on-one help, they bussed me over to the public school in town just to have like an hour a day with like a reading teacher. And 6 weeks later, we're good. But it's like, you don't have like this school that we pay to go to beyond you know, other grants you qualify for. And I mean, some, you know, Missouri's a weird state, so sometimes private schools do look into a little bit of like state funding for this or that. It's not huge like a public school, you know, would be, but you're like, really, you can't have like a teacher's aide on who can just like meet with students
who
struggling?
Can just guess,
like,
never guess, she just needs
yeah,
to guess.
You can't have that. Okay, guess. All right, so yeah, that was always embarrassing too, because you know, they would
do.
You know, they didn't make a big thing out of it, but it'd be like, it's 10 a.m. Josh, you need to go. I'm like, oh, okay, and run. And
you
now
run
I think
through a wall. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, but it's like you said, it's like the exclusion part of it, and especially at that point in development, it's not it. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's not great. But hey, you know, Catholic school.
But here you are, reading
and alive.
Speaking.
I'm except here. I upset my mom every day with not being religious. And it's a good time. I torment her every day. It's fun.
Mom still sends me like Alex Jones videos. I'm like, ha is what I say. I just give her like a ha ha emoji.
Well, she sent you that Bill O'Reilly book.
I do. I have all Bill O'Reilly's killed a lot of famous people. I have all his killed. People come over to my house and be like, what the fuck do you believe? I'm like,
who even are you?
Spanish Civil War on the shelf next to Killing
Spanish Lincoln Civil War, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, By Night and Chill, Mark Levin's America Under Fire. What the fuck are you, dude? I'm very confused. Let's see if we can build our through line here.
It's kind of a cosmic gumbo. There we go.
We got our I think you should leave.
Yeah, we had to get it in.
So, okay. So, baseball fan before theater. Okay. So, like, what drove you for the creative outlet for pursuing theater and especially musical theater then?
Yeah. So, before I did mention, I guess, before baseball, I was already a singer. Age 2, plastic microphone, jumping on my parents' bed, singing Mariah Carey. I never shut up. And so my mom, when I was about 10, at this point, I was already very into baseball, but think it was about 10 years old, she sought out voice lessons for me because I just never stopped singing. Mm-hmm. And my voice teacher then actually pointed me in the direction of like, this might be a good extracurricular thing for you to get involved with, because the public school that I went to, even though it was a great school and everything, it did not have, there was no like theater program or anything until high school. So it was something that fortunately my mom sought out for me, in seeing that I also was, oh man, every home video of me as a child, which I'm probably older than you guys, but my sister is 7 years younger than me. And so when she was probably about 2 or 3 years old is when my dad got like one of the like little handheld camcorders. So there's a lot more home videos around that age of like, she's adorable and 3 years old, and I have like teeth growing up in my gums. I have colics. I like look like I am in the deepest weeds of my awkward phase at about 10 years old. And I am in the front of every cute shot he's trying to take of her with my 12 scrunchies on my wrist, just telling you about what I did today. And I was very much a show woman from the start, is what I'm trying to say. So yeah. My mother saw that in me, and my dad had actually been a singer. Like, he was in barbershop quartet in high school, and he plays piano and guitar by ear and just like has a very raw, natural talent for it. Oh. So she had reason to suspect that, you know, I might actually not just love it, but maybe be good enough at it that would be something that I should, you know, put some time and energy into.
They passed down baseball, singing, and Catholicism. The three big, yes. Three there.
The big three.
The Holy Trinity, if you will.
So you grew up just outside Peoria then?
I did, yeah.
Right? Okay. So,
probably minor league baseball, right?
Peoria Chiefs, baby.
Yeah. Let's go, dogs.
What I up, sang the national anthem at a Peoria Chiefs game when I was probably like 12.
She dominated it. Yeah. They're like, we'll never have another home game. We cannot top this. And the team's left. Like, we're going to go play.
That's when they built the new stadium, because they were like, we just can't.
We got to burn this shit down. This is too good. We'll never be able to follow our walk hard reference. Yeah. How am I supposed to follow that? So, okay. Did you perform theater around Peoria then?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Peoria actually has a thriving community theater scene. If you didn't know, now you know. Because, yeah, they have three really big community theaters that are all like, I mean, there's a couple like semi-professional things too that I got to do into my young adulthood and college age. But yeah, because they're so just like well-produced and there's good community investment in them, there's a lot of really good local talent. And I was very fortunate to be in an area where all of that was happening too. And that definitely was a big part of the reason that I think the like theater bug, so to speak, bit me so hard, is because I just had a lot of good opportunity around me.
Did you go to New York after that then?
So, right? I went to Illinois State University for college.
Go Cardinals. Yeah. Tony Romo.
Me and Paul DeYoung, actually.
Our other co-host loves Paul DeYoung.
Oh, dude.
Oh,
Andrea, his mom blocked him on Twitter. Because he was so mean.
I can't wait for him to get blocked by fucking Betty Burleson. So, you went to Illinois State, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly because like my parents did what I now, and I, even at the time, I think I knew it was the right thing. They like scared me shitless of they would not allow me to go into private student loan debt. So they were like, you can take out federal loans and we'll, you know, like support you doing
Joe Biden will be president one day and take care of it.
You have to go to college, but you know, you can't. I got into a couple schools that would have put me in a position to have to go to insane financial constraints, even though they were very, you know, elite and would have put me, you know, they give you this idea that the promise is, you know, you'll walk onto Broadway, but knowing now what I know, it wouldn't have mattered even if I did walk onto Broadway, because I have a lot of friends that went to those schools and walked onto Broadway, and they're in not even as good of a situation as I am now. So yeah, I went to Illinois State. I wasn't thrilled about it, but I did meet a really amazing voice teacher there, which is why I ultimately did it, and why I ultimately like really enjoyed my time there. And yeah, then I went to New York City right after that, because I was like, fuck Chicago. Everybody from Central Illinois goes to Chicago. I'm going to New York.
So were you going to New York for theater, or was this the creative shot, right?
Yeah. So I had absolutely no idea how I was going to do it. I mean, other than I knew that's where I had to be to get into the to go to the kind of auditions that were, you know, going to get me doing anything close to what I wanted to be doing. And I actually, I had a couple different jobs throughout college, but I got a job at Starbucks at the end of college because I just needed a company that was big enough to that would transfer me with no questions asked to New York City so I could have a job the day I moved there. And
I did that.
I worked at a Starbucks in Times Square for what I refer to as the worst 38 days of my life. And I then got a nanny job and things lightened up for me. But yeah, that's what brought me to New York.
So, you know, obviously musical theater was dominant. Did you do, you know, any just plays? Like,
yeah. Did you do any real acting? Would you do any real acting, sister?
No.
You didn't do any Goodfellas, you know?
Not really. I have done a handful of plays, but because I was, and actually for a really long time, I thought I couldn't act. And it took up until my later college years to actually kind of overcome that because I had the opportunity to play a very heavy acting role. I mean, as well as a very heavy singing role, but it just kind of opened up my eyes to, like, I always thought, like, I can only act if I'm singing. And that probably is still a little bit true. I'm definitely better at acting when I'm singing just because it allows me to like fully go there. But
I mean, you're not singing now and you act like you like us. So you're
okay.
All
right, young man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's
I'm doing a good job. All
right. Yeah. You believe me? You're doing a great job.
Amazing.
It's supporting her. It's self-deprecating us. That's our thing.
Josh is always the antagonistic one amongst us.
Oh, my. I'm complimenting.
You're always attacking the guests.
Oh, man.
That's why Will O'Donnell felt unsafe.
Okay. Yeah.
This is why Ben Hockman blocked your number.
I'm the reason we got Ben on.
No, he blocked you out.
All right. We live together. It's like this is just spousal stuff. We'll get into it later. It's the whole thing.
So did you your husband is Dan. Did you meet him in New York or when did you move to Chicago right after New York then, right?
Yeah. So no, Dan and I actually lived in New York for, we figure, about the same exact period of time, but we never knew each other.
Oh.
And I actually joke that I probably like walked by him, like, cause he used to be like really not a heavy smoker, but I mean, he smoked long before I met him and he has not for some time now, but I am a very like goody two shoes. So I probably like saw him with like his emo hair and lip ring, like smoking a cigarette in an alley, like on his break from, you know, being a waiter. And just I walked by with like my fake Dooney and Burke bag, like, oh my god, look at that guy. So we probably did like, you know, have that interaction in my mind. But no, we did not meet until the way we met was super fateful, actually. I ended up in Chicago because I learned the hard way that you go to New York to audition to be cast to leave New York. And so I was cast in a Broadway in Chicago show, Million Dollar Quartet, which it was a Broadway show, but it started in Chicago. So it ran in Chicago for like over 8 years. It's like the longest running Broadway in Chicago show, blah, blah, blah. I was cast on like the last couple of years that it was running. And when it closed here, they licensed it to run all over the country. So they started doing it at like regional theaters all over the country. And I was here working my fitness job, just kind of like auditioning for things on the side at that point. And it had been, I think, about 8 months since we closed the show in Chicago. And I got a call when I was on the bus on the way home on a Wednesday night from like someone who had gotten my number from like a friend of a friend of a friend. And they were doing Million Dollar Quartet up north in Wisconsin Dells. And there's one woman in the show. And the woman in their show had fallen ill. She was not going to be able to go on to do the show. And they really didn't know how to do it without her because there's only like 8 people in the whole cast. So they were like, can you come do the show? And I said, if you can get me there, because I don't have a car, and you can pay me in cash, sure, I'll figure out the rest. So I got up there, and my husband was in that production of Million Dollar Quartet. That is how I met him. And we spent
no more lip ring, no more emo hair.
No
more firing up heaters.
Nice, clean cut Johnny Cash. He had a great pompadour. So yeah, rest is history.
Love it. Love it first sight. You're like, I like this guy. Can you give me a ride back home, please? Yeah.
I'm just, whenever you say pompadour, I'm just kind of imagining Joe Pesci and Goodfellas. Like, that's kind of picture.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, no, he's like,
Joe Pesci. Hey.
Funny how?
Funny how? Funny. Ha like a clown.
I sound more like a baby yeah, when I do that.
Google Gaga. Google Gaga like a baby.
Stop the baby talk.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that when you're trying to sleep. I'm going to scratch at the door. Like this scratches my.
I'm like, Google Gaga.
Yep.
I'm going to go in. I have a little. I want you to know while you've been gone up in St. Louis with your girlfriend, I've hollowed out the walls and took out the insulation. I can move freely in this house without going through any of the doors. Problem is, I'm a tight fit. So I have to like grease up. I can't wear any clothes. So, like, I don't know.
Even best.
It's going to be the yellow wallpaper. And, yes. Like, and, you're, and then you're just going to gaslight me. Yeah. Like.
Okay. Let's try this bit, okay? Because I was thinking about this one today. All right, let's tie in. This is our through line, okay?
Okay.
The love of performance, right?
That, yes.
The whole reason why I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to do PG stand-up, you know? The love of performance and the love of baseball here. Let's see. I'm gonna throw out a musical, and I want you to tell me, based on that musical's vibes, which Cardinal player matches those vibes?
Okay, does it have to be a current Cardinal player?
Any Cardinal player, honestly. Yeah, let's expand it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
If this goes well, we'll send you a cryptocurrency we may call Crumblecoin. It is currently valued at 0.000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000
player for this. That could be fun.
That'd be good.
Yours would be a salient comment because I might not know the show, and I'm just gonna.
I went as a character.
I'm just gonna.
Okay.
I'm worried you're going to pick songs I don't know, because as much as I am a musical theater person, I'm like not as big of a nerd as maybe you want me to be.
I'm just going to pick the play. We're good. Like I don't. I've seen like six or seven musicals live, and like I know of the rest, but none of the songs.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite one I've ever seen is I am torn between Wicked and Hairspray. I'm not going to lie, I had a shit ton of fun at Les Mis. Only because who's the cop or general that chases the protagonist? Jean Valjean.
Jean Valjean.
Is it? I thought he was the protag.
Well, you said Jean, so I wasn't.
Yeah, something like
that. I wasn't
Javert.
Listening.
You're thinking of Javert.
Javert.
Oh,
I watched Les Mis 4 or 5 years ago. I was laughing so hard at Javert's character. The guy played him beautifully, but the dude is just like the guy over stealing bread. He's like, hey man, there's like a bunch of shit going down. It's like, I don't care. I'm busting you. Like he ignores everything.
Yeah.
Genuinely hilarious character.
Meanwhile,
Anne
Hathaway's character is plucking teeth out of her head.
Like... Okay. We're gonna lead off. SpongeBob the musical.
Ooh. I wanna say I could see somebody like Joey Votto going with a SpongeBob theme song.
That is the new stat I think I stole from Kelsey. X vibes. That has a high X vibes right there. Book of Mormon.
Who do I want to see with their tap shoes on, tapping their way to home plate?
Theory, is there any Mormon baseball?
Oh, Joey Votto wasn't a Cardinal player. Sorry, I'm breaking the rules already.
Dude, it's fine if
you... We were going to let it slide, but if you did it the second time...
No. Joey Votto's a treasure. He belongs to everyone.
Okay, yeah, he can...
Like
he's
the
an
gift
honorary.
Of Jesus Christ, this is now a Trad Catholic podcast. What other Cardinals baseball podcast promotes traditional Catholic values and the love of musicals? All right, sorry. Book of Mormon.
Well, because I was thinking, you know, I realized that Joey Votto was not a Cardinals player when I also wanted to pick a non-Cardinals player, who I'm going to say anyway, and then I'll pick a Cardinals one. Joey Weimer, because he has like a very dancer-esque batting stance, and I would really like to see him in some tap shoes tapping his way up to home plate. But Cardinals player, Book of Mormon. Who has those Andrew Rannells vibes? This is a tough one. Cause...
This is an innocent play. I'm going to go with James Nail.
Ooh, that's a really good one. Mm-hmm. That's a very solid pick. I could absolutely see James Nail in Book of Mormon.
He's dominating the KBO.
I'm just gonna say I'm just gonna say Genesis Cabrera.
yes, of course.
Obvious.
Very maybe Mormon-esque. Like the guy who did back shots in the arch. Yes, that guy. Thank you. Genesis, thank you. Jesus, Red October. He just shot it. That's a great torpedo.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hairspray.
Okay, I love Hairspray so much. One of my favorite roles I've ever played is Penny in Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
What's your... Is there a song that you know from Hairspray?
Not that I can remember off the top of my head.
It's the one that's like, boogie, 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 boogie. Spray that hair.
It's not Hairspray.
You just made that up, didn't you? That was, I'm not going to lie, dude. You rolled, I rolled a one on that. That was a critical failure, and I believed you.
I'm going to give you two songs and a different player for each one, because I feel like I could see Lars Newbar.
Tell me more. That's Greece.
You're an idiot.
Oh, dude, I have a brain tumor. This is terrible.
No, there's the Baltimore song in Hairspray.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Good morning, Baltimore.
That one's a bop.
Yeah. There's so many good ones. But the two songs I want to tell you about are Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now. And I don't know why. Like, don't ask me why. It's strictly on vibes. Brendan Donovan.
Yes, that's who I had. I put SpongeBob the Musical for Brendan Donovan. But I was going to say Hairspray.
Totally on the same page, kind of. But also, the finale of the show is called You Can't Stop the Beat. And that's...
You Can't Stop the BDE.
Oh, that'd be so good, though. But I could see Lars Newbar, every like Lars Newbar pepper grinder, fist bump, like anything would go so well to this song. So that's why I'm going to attach it to him.
Yeah, Lars is real close to just doing the mashed potato whenever he gets like a double.
Lars does not embody like Phantom of the Opera or Hades. That's for damn sure. He is not Fiddler on the Roof. Speaking of which, Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, so I'm actually like not a Moulin Rouge fan, which is crazy, but I haven't seen it. I've tried to watch it a couple times, the movie.
Yeah.
And
hate how it's edited. I hate Baz
Luhrmann. I can't get into it. Who would be a Moulin Rouger?
Just think of a Frenchman.
Do you think maybe we can get Giovanni Gallegos to walk out to a Moulin Rouge song instead of his?
That could be good. I like
his
that.
Little ditty. Yeah.
Yeah. That might actually help out his fastball a little bit. You know, hey.
That was my thought.
That's what we got, baby. What would Wilson Contreras' one be then?
Oh, man.
Ooh, Willie Mania.
A song from a musical for Wilson Contreras.
Well, are we just doing a musical or a song from a musical?
I was just thinking musical plays, but we can do the songs from him. I was thinking Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson musical?
Yeah.
Okay, that one's not cooking.
I could honestly see him doing like the confrontation from Les Mis.
I'm gonna say
it's the
yes.
Best song from Les Mis.
Okay,
best song.
You know what? I have, and while I say I have, I'm quickly typing the confrontation.
It probably actually was one of your favorite parts, knowing how you feel about Javert. So
he cracks me up. Like, I'm going to follow you into a sewer. I cannot forgive you for taking a piece of bread. I'm like, dude, fucking let it go. Let it go, bro. Oh, yeah. I've seen this. Look at that. Look at that face of Russell Crowe. That is That's a sweaty meatball right there.
Actually, I met Russell Crowe the very first day I lived in New York. He was in the Starbucks that I worked at.
Was he cool or was he rude? Or was he...
No, he was fine. Nobody, like, that was one of the weirdest things about living in New York. That was, like, there was always incredibly famous people around and, like, no one ever... Either no one knew or no one cared. Like, I don't know, but...
You're Russell Crowe. He's like, I wish people would stop asking me about fucking Gladiator 2.
Really. But he was there doing vocal training for Les Mis and... Yeah, I guess we know how that worked out.
He needed it, yeah.
Which player embodies Sweeney Todd vibes?
Ooh.
Oh, you know, what? I think that might be fitting for Wilson Contreras because, like, he's going to slit your throat, man. He would do that for this team.
I like that.
I was going to go with Carlos Martinez because he has this weird contacts that makes his eyes a different color, and he looks demonic as fuck.
That's real. Oh, that's a good one.
Demon Barber of Fleet Street. There you
go. The Demon Barber of Busch Stadium.
Yeah. I wrote Lance Lynn for Shrek the Musical, but I'm curious who you think for Shrek the Musical.
Ooh. Well, I'm thinking of the song from Shrek the Musical that's actually sung by the Fiona character where she's like waiting in the tower. I know it's today. And she's like so hopeful and she just stays and she's completely miserable for, you know, years and years of her life. But every day she wakes up with that. You know, it's going to be today.
And Lance Lynn shows up in the pink Bronco. So
that's like every Cardinals player pre-arbitration, basically.
Pre-arbitration.
Before they get their money.
And then after arbitration, it turns into Hades Town. That's what it turns into. Two more.
I don't know.
Oh, wait. Wait. What are we...
Oh, I was just going to say maybe Tommy Edman for Shrek if I'm going with the I Know It's Today song because I feel like right now it kind of works because we're waiting on him. Like maybe it's today that wrist isn't going to act up. But also maybe it's today that they'll put him in one position to just let him thrive and live his best Tommy Edman life.
You're a big Tommy Edman stan, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. You're Nolan Gorman, Tommy Edman, big supporter of middle infielders.
Yeah. I've always been a big Fernando Vigna. Loved him.
He was one of my favorites growing up, too. I remember when they had like that 20 inning extra game, he was like 1 for 7, but the last hit he got was like a game winner or some shit like that. I was like, poor Vigna.
I was like, Brendan Ryan was my guy.
That dude had some, that dude rocked.
Yeah, that guy just chewed on his jersey and it was awesome. He was snot on it.
I think any of our rookies are the Lion King. Either Mason Wynn, Jaywalk, or Gorm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm cooking. Mason Wynn gives me Simba vibes. Like
he does.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yep.
And as you can clearly hear, we'll end the musical tirade on Cats.
Oh God. I was afraid we might go there.
I know. I'm waiting for your large feline to come in view. Yeah, I blocked the door, but she is whining heavily right now.
So. She's in good company. My guy has not made his way down the stairs yet, but it is really only a matter of time.
Oh, Lord, he coming.
Who is going? Sorry, what?
Who gives Cats vibes?
Yeah, whose memory all alone in the moonlight?
Ryan Fernandez.
Okay. Yeah, let's pick a real esoteric one.
I honestly...
Tony Gonsolin, because he has a bunch of cats. That's...
I think it might have to be Kyle Gibson, though, right now.
Gibby? Okay.
Because I just think he's, you know, like the musical Cats, he's there. He's solid. You know he's not going to go away. You know what to expect, and every time you want to give it a fair chance, but sometimes there's moments here and there that hit the way you want them to. Absolutely. But at the end of Cats,
that's never a bad compliment to get. You know, you're just there. You're consistent. You're there. You know, congrats, dog.
Yeah.
Listen, Kyle Gibson was my bird of the week when I covered the Cardinals this week because I did want to give him a shout out. He had a great outing this past week, and I value his consistency. And
six inning Kyle. So we call.
I would feel very differently about him if the rotation as a whole was made up differently. So I shouldn't hold that against him. Is what I'm trying to tell myself.
As we near the end here, what is your vibes forecast for this team right now?
So I'm doing a weekly vibe check on the Cardinals because from the start. I mean, after last season, I will not be fooled again. I will not be made a fool of, Tom, by this team. Not again.
Fool me once. Shame on you.
Because I didn't realize. I realized pretty quickly into the season, but certainly could not have forecasted the vibes that would ensue. So we're just taking it week by week, you know, one week at a time this season. And my read on the current vibes right now on this Sunday, April 28th, 2024, is a little rising from the ashes vibes is what I'm looking for from the Cardinals. It's what I'm feeling. There's some fight after the fire here.
The offense cooked a little bit. We beat the Mets. That's all I care about.
I mean, we're still dusting.
Who gives you Nightman Cometh? You know, the real ultimate musical. Yeah. Who gives you the Nightman Cometh? And it's very clearly Miles Michaelis.
Yes, I was going to say.
How was that baby boy, that little baby boy was me.
All right. You need to be.
They're not musical people, though, guys.
You need to be.
Not theater people.
Yeah.
One of our patrons did have a question for you. Who is your favorite player on a real bad team?
Oh, my favorite player on a bad team, like a currently bad team.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like a lot of random players. So we're thinking like bad team. Oh, well, the Marlins are really bad this year, which is a shame because they had a chance to make some different choices, but they didn't. And I love Jake Berger. He's like one of the highest on vibes players.
Awesome name.
In baseball. Like absolutely love him. Too.
Yep.
Yeah.
We all got to watch him hit a tank on opening day.
Yeah, we saw him hit a couple.
Burger bomb. That's what we had.
Straight into Big Mac land.
Mm-hmm. I would probably go for mine would be right now. I love Mason Miller because he is fucking killing for my fantasy team right now.
I like Framber Valdez since the Astros are shit this year.
Oh,
yeah, what about
that? I was like,
Brian.
Wait, they're not a bad. Oh, they are. Are the Astros the 2023 Cardinals? Like, are they the 2024?
I think they're cooked.
Yeah.
Like, I think I think you can recover from like certain bad starts, like when the Nationals won their World Series. They were under 500 like around All-Star break.
Yes.
We have certainly in the past 20 something years, like 01 is a good example, been near or below 500 and then gotten hot. 96 is another good example for that. Like you can recover from that. I don't think you can recover from, as we were evident for last season, is when you blow off both your feet in the first 2 months.
Exactly.
And you're not only like, do you not have reinforcements coming, but like there is no positive trend, which is what I think the Cardinals had. Everything.
Right.
Just imagining Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr. survive with
survive. I'm a lead farmer. Okay. All right. Elsie, where can people find you? Plug some stuff. Tell us.
Well, you can find me, as long as you're going to be nice, on Twitter at KBurdTweets. That's KBURD tweets. And yeah, if you're not on Twitter, I'm also on Instagram at peace.love.baseball. I've got a Facebook page if you're on Facebook where the kids are at, Peace, Love, and Baseball. And yeah, I'm on YouTube too. The KBird Tweets YouTube channel is where Peace, Love, and Baseball is at. So basically, if you find me in one of those places, you're going to find any and all the content that I'm putting out.
See, this is
very cool.
Because we only got one. We need two or three.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of on Instagram, but I suck at making reels. Yeah.
I do too. But most importantly, I'm not on TikTok because I am internally an 87-year-old woman and I cannot do it.
I've essentially shut down the Facebook page because every day I'm getting the same message from some Indian guy being like, your page is about to be deleted unless you give us your password. And like, I am tired of just the spam with it. So I
think you should give him the password and just see what they cook up. Maybe we'll get some engagement.
That'd be funny. You know? Be like, do you like Baby Gerald? Please follow the Worst Fans in Baseball podcast on that one.
You never do know.
You just, never do know.
It's just our unpaid intern Dinesh cooking up something. Let's see. She said something a while ago, and I.
Yeah.
Are people really like? Are they actually mean to you on Twitter? Because like I believe I'm a recent follower. And I know I haven't been mean because I don't hop in mentions normally. So.
How dare a lady like baseball? Yeah. A woman in MLB The Show. That's unrealistic while I hit 635 why am I Jewish? 110 home runs.
Funny enough, you should ask, because actually tomorrow's episode is kind of a crossover episode. I was asked to be on a podcast where they wanted me specifically to talk about like being a woman in the baseball space online and just in, you know, the podcasting world too. And it's something that I don't like to harp on because I like to think it's the least interesting thing about me and my opinions on baseball is that I just also happen to be a woman. I'm not like trying to be like, that's what makes me unique, you guys. That's why I'm here. But I also like, you know, I bring the perspective that I bring to it. And I like talking to people who have different perspectives on it. And that's the reason I'm online, but that's not the reason a lot of people are online, as I'm sure you know. And I do think that I am probably fortunate that I steer clear of a lot of it because I am so innately positive that like those people that just want to be miserable, like don't find me. The algorithms kind of steer them away. But
she's totally blocked Nick at some point. She has to have.
No, but like I talk about this on tomorrow's episode or on this week's episode of Peace, Love, and Baseball. But like I made a fun little post about Harrison Bader the other day and like which Harrison Bader era is your favorite? Because I'm sorry, he looked totally different when he played for the Cardinals and the Mets and the Yankees. So we got picture of him. And beautiful. It's like, which Bader look is your fave? And got a lot of fun engagement on it. People passing it around, just all in good fun. But then there's the people who need to be like, what are you talking about? This guy with a career 708 OPS. Well, maybe, you know, none, because he's a 244 lifetime.
He fucking killed my dog. Yeah. He beat my parents.
We get it, dude. You look
my
up
favorite era
one.
Is the one where
he fucked my wife. How could you, K-Birds?
Exactly. You get where I'm going. So it's more like that just negativity, those cries for help where I'm like, I can't help you. I'm just here to have fun. And if you don't want to, like, that is not, I can't help
to
you.
To quote the great Dostoevsky, Cardinals fans are deeply, sensationally in love with their own misery.
No, but like, I'm sure, Kelsey, you have like a burner. I mean, you have like a, like.
I don't.
I mean,
is that a thing? Does everyone have a burner?
Your burner is the fucking Marty McFly.
No, your burner, this is my theory.
But I do have that account muted.
My theory is that you're Cardinals Live. That's what I think you are.
Well, I didn't think I would be made here on this episode today, but
we need to get Domingo Germán and Trevor Bauer on this team. Yeah. They'd be cheap, and women lie all the time, right, guys? Right, fellas?
Kelsey shows up wearing like a Guy Fawkes mask. So like protect her identity.
Remember.
Do not.
The 11th of November, when free agent filings can happen. Hell yeah, brother! Oh, that was a good one. Let's as we wrap up, let's see if we can get Kelsey to play along with this. We need to name off the patrons, so let's let that eat real quick, and then we'll do our little bit we do is called Crumble Champs, and then we pick a because we're very positive here. We pick a random something in the baseball world that's irking us, and we say fuck that. So we'll start with.
Well, first of all, I think I would be interested to see. We have a lot of generic names in our Discord and our patrons, so I want to see if Kelsey can just guess a random guy's name, see if that's one of them.
Okay.
And there's not a lot of people, by the way. It's like nine.
We have like 10.
Yeah, 9, 10. Just fill out a couple of random guy names.
Jeff, are you out there?
There we have
she
a
nailed
Jeff.
It. She fucking nailed it.
All right.
So Jeff, congrats. We got Jeff.
Nate.
Close. Nate, it is an N. Oh, okay. An N name. We'll bleep right, that. Yeah. That is an N name.
Tim. Can I get a Tim?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, Tim Mitchell is
Kelsey.
Subscribe.
Started off so strong.
Kelsey. Brian.
Brian. You let us down, Brian.
Yeah.
All right, give it one more. If you do this one, we'll send you a t-shirt. I need to make new t-shirts, so I got to think of a new slogan this year that isn't.
I think we should get the Danny Mac ones made. That one was sick.
I really love a free t-shirt. I've got to go with Kevin.
Well, the she was close with Nate. It's Nick. We have a Nick.
Yeah.
We have Alex.
Well, yeah.
We
okay.
have Pat.
We have Pat.
We have Tyler.
We have Jeff or James.
James. Jim.
Yeah.
We have Cran. And last one.
Bravo.
Bravo. And Richie.
Richie.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. So last bit here. It's called Crumble Champs because we've committed to the stupid bit I started probably 200 episodes ago. What was the episode called where it was like business meeting? Where I was like, we're switching to paying you guys to a Lithuanian cryptocurrency company called Crumble Coin. And it's just become a bit. Crumble Champs, you either signal someone that you do want to shout out or you pick someone ironically. So past Crumble Champs would be like John Fisher because he's such a great owner.
Sure.
Or a more serious Crumble Champ would be like Paul Goldschmidt getting out of his slump. So let's set the precedent.
Be negative. I want to see you just you
don't first
fuel,
off,
fuel that hate fire just a little bit. Just
don't tell women what to do. Oh, come on, hey, you're an ally. Hey.
Whatever she says, I'll believe her because I believe women.
You're dating a theater kid. Oh, come on.
I am dating a theater kid.
Show some solidarity. God,
that's what I'm doing.
Show some fucking
solidarity. So that's why I'm here, just to get points with a new girlfriend?
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know. I think she's listening to one episode.
He's paying the water bill. I'm sorry. Yeah. I hate to. He's paying
the water. She's listening to one episode, I think, to suss me out early on in the online dating stuff. So
who's your hey, who's your crumble champ?
My crumble champ would be the trio. That is Jojo Romero, Kittredge, and Helsley, because those guys are underappreciated by the league and are fucking elite.
Absolutely.
My crumble champ then is Francisco Lindor for having the most obvious runner's lane interference that a high school varsity umpire like me would have the confidence to call. So thank you, Lindor. Kelsey? Crumble champ.
Doesn't even have to be a Cardinals player.
You can pick anything.
My crumble champ is actually going to be a group of people, and it's going to be the Yankees fans for booing motherfucking Aaron Judge.
Ooh.
The Yankees fans are booing Aaron Judge, and I just need them. We talk about Cardinals fans' entitlement. Nope. Not even rivaled by the Yankees fans' entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that really hurt my baseball loving heart.
I have not followed Aaron Judge. Has he been having a
He's
rough
having a rough stroke? One. He's okay. under
a rough
He's
goal.
Got around a 700 OPS, but he's hitting under 200. So
it's the game of baseball.
Guys,
learn to love it or move on, but don't boo.
Like
Aaron
he will
Judge.
Have a month where he hits 16 home runs.
He's an MVP, bro. He is going to be fine.
Absolutely. And we're like 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks into the season. Like, he's come on.
El Gigante. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's not, who gives a fuck? He, you know, yeah.
Yeah. See, you fueled your hate fire. I like it.
Yep.
It's the same way, you guys, as like I was just talking to my husband about this earlier today. It's the same way that people love to watch the downfall of like the better you are, the more people enjoy your downfall. And I hate that.
The memes have been heavy
for everyone.
Yeah, like, they're like Cardinals fans have enjoyed 20 some years success. Now they get to be like the rest of us. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But like, why? Okay, sure, cool, great. Yeah. I'm happy that makes you feel better. Pirates fan.
Rum Bunter.
Fan. Rum Bunter. I think
you
actually.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The fact that, like, Mariah Carey can't sing the way she used to be able to sing, but the way she could sing, and for a long time too, was so unreal and so amazing. Like, why can't we just appreciate her for what she was? The same way that, like, Paul Goldschmidt, there will be a time when he does really regress. And that's what happens in this game, but how quickly people forget. And they
people
just love
shitting
to...
on like Michael Ciani too. I'm like, the dude's up here getting like paycheck, like league minimum, like you know, I mean Paul Goldschmidt would be fine, but if you're gonna like levy like your hate at anyone, levy at like, you know, the people that build the roster, but like people with already life changing money to them. Like,
sure.
I get don't like going after, like, not even like rookie, like rookies obviously, but like any kind of organizational guy that gets like a call up to where for like 2 or 3 weeks he's getting that pay scale at that 700K, and then he's going to get sent down or DFA'd after that. Like Kevin Pillar, like, on gave like an interview on Foul Territory about being DFA'd. Mm-hmm. Just broke my heart. But I mean, to his credit, Pillar's got life changing money right now. I think you actually set us up for us to. For, you know, who we fucking tonight. Usually it's Mets fans because we hate the Mets.
The entire city of New York.
The entire city of
except
New York.
Except for the theater kids. In New
except
York.
For your theater kid friends. Yeah, we turn up. Maybe we'll have a Mets fan on next week.
Also Paul Giamatti. We like Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
I have told this story before on another Cardinals podcast, but one time, because I went to Citi Field quite a bit when I lived in New York, and one time I almost got kicked out of Citi Field because I was very excited to be watching Michael Wacha play baseball, and it was really windy at Citi Field, and his hat blew off of his head on the mound, and I was a few beers deep probably and started screaming about how his hat flew off and yelled at him to also take off his pants, just invited him also maybe take off his pants. And that almost, people were very upset. The security guards were very unhappy with me having my 24-year-old fun at Citi Field.
Hey, us New Yorkers here, we're all about, this is a family environment, lady, okay? We don't talk like that. We have great deportment, decorum, and respect. That is the Mets way here at Citi Field, okay? We're not going to say...
And Flushing, Queens.
Me disrupting the New Yorkers.
Flushing, Queens, where they should, honestly, what the Mets should do is flush, you know. I want you to know, okay, I don't want to hear you saying, show us your Fozzie Bear. Okay. All right. We've been through enough terrible tragedies here. Okay. We watched the Royals hit an inside the park home run. Like, how the hell? We had Matt Harvey on this team. Okay.
All right. Get out of here.
They hit her with a. Get out of here, Dutch. Come on. Yeah. Michael Wacha.
But for real, guys, go foul Kelsey. Go listen to her pod. Kelsey, you got a final meme to sign us off with? What do you want to say to our 250 listeners? What do you want to say to them out there?
Oh man, I don't know. Well, I am pretty positive. So if that's not your thing, I'm probably going to annoy you a little bit, but I also try to be realistic while also being positive. I just love baseball a lot. And yeah, I don't know. I like talking about it with anyone who wants to be respectful and talk with me about it as well.
Folks,
here you go.
Kelsey Bird, go check her out. Thank you all.